This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. It is the 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. 1 hour to go. We're getting into your weekend as fast as possible. I'm RJ Chobby's Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside Brent Severin joins the show at 9:20. Get into a little bit of a... We're going to fix the Dallas Stars. How many? How many hits did Winnipeg have last night?
44.
And what did the Stars have?
27.
And what about giveaways?
I don't know. I don't have it up in front of me right here.
26 to 9.
26.
There's 20. By the way, do you know there were 26 giveaways too? Chop. It was impressive.
Man, tough.
We got a lot of people guessing what my note says. I asked you guys before the break, what does the note in my wallet say that I've left for police in the event that I ever die? Just as a last little fun thing to send off, a fun prank, is there's a note I leave in my wallet. For police to find, in
mom
case I pass away. That's what it says. Yeah, mom will see you soon. 432, the note in Bobby's wallet definitely says Nina Sky sucks. 469, the note says Bobby's sister with the kids with the weird names did it. I like that one. 469, the note says Sean is trying to stretch his hands to increase his size by 3/8 of an inch. 469, it says the Sean and RJ ... and Bobby show. 817, my wife finally had enough of me. 817, ooh, my nice wife finally did it. Had a note. 325, Walchuk did it.
Yeah, that's the one.
469, I like this one. The note reads, the tattoo on my ass will explain my death. 812, it tells Dallas
that's
police where
clever
to find your unreleased diss tracks. And then finally, last one here, 214, Bobby's note reads, I deserved it.
I deserved it?
That's what 214 says, okay. It'll say.
All right, interesting. All right, well, you know, one of the things that obviously we have been following along with is the aftermath of the Luka game from the other night against the Lakers. Or, I'm sorry, the Luka game that he had against the Mavericks. I can't even comprehend that he's not even here anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I still can't comprehend. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, all the takes that these people have had. Well, here is Kendrick Perkins on ESPN. Kendrick Perkins with a suggestion on if the Mavs can actually make sense of this, fix this in any way, restitution, if you will.
Fix this, asked Nico.
Fix this.
It's a way for the Dallas to make this right, right? A lot of people talking about, oh yeah, they didn't get enough back. They should have got Austin Reeves. You know how they can make this right? Soon as the season is over, you go out and you go get Kevin Durant. That's how you make it right. You have the pieces. You have some money to make a trade happen. That's how you make it right if you're Nico Harris in the front office of the Mavs organization. Go get KD to pair alongside Kyrie and AD.
What?
No.
No.
That doesn't fix it at all.
No.
In fact, that sounds like something Nico would think would fit. Like, yeah, this is what everybody wanted.
Everybody wants a 38-year-old. Or whatever.
No.
He can't win with Phoenix. They're going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah. Look, I mean, hey, 972 brings up a good point. The note in my wallet should say Nico did it.
Yeah.
Nico killed me.
He went on TV and said the way to make this right is to get KD.
I mean, is anybody out here clamoring like, we got to have Kevin Durant? That will change everything for us. I mean, they wanted initially, that was the ultimate plan initially for Kyrie Irving, was he wanted Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis in Brooklyn. That's what it was supposed to be. But, I mean, have you seen anything in Phoenix that makes you say, oh, yeah, that would work? I mean, he's still a good player. He's still an effective player. Like, Kevin Durant would be a great player, but that doesn't fix it. Nobody's going to go, okay, well, now I'm happy. I'm happy because they got Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis over Luka for the next decade. That's great. 972, what if they traded for Devin Booker? I would not love that. Would you want Devin Booker here? Could you imagine a bigger slap in the face?
Oh my God,
trading,
yes.
Luka than going, now we're going to go get Devin Booker.
Dude, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. That'd be bad.
No, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing to do that will fix this. Other than, like we said yesterday, Nico has to be fired and the Dumont Adelson group has to sell. That'll be what fixes it. And not fixes it. That'll just be when fans will be ready to give it a shot again.
Wow. Hey, look, it's a terrible take.
Speaking of terrible takes, what did your boy say? Your boy Mad Dog.
Peyton can't find the audio.
Oh, well, what did he say?
I said it earlier in the week. He said Luka is hard to root for.
And I have a major problem with, because there's nothing further from the truth to me. Like, I think Luka is so easy to root for, especially if he's yours.
If he's yours. I can understand. Like, if you were sitting there saying that, you know, he's hard to root for as a lay person, right? You don't have a dog in the fight.
If he's against your team, he is, you hate him. If he's with your team, you love him. I think as a very neutral observer, Luka's very easy to root for. He's exciting. He's brash on the court. He's got that I'm going to show you type of DNA and personality. I think there's a ton that's exciting about Luka
if you're a neutral observer. Yeah,
I think
there's a ton that's exciting too. But yeah, this is like, I don't care. But here's the thing. If he's playing for my team, I don't care how hard he is to root for at all. I don't care if Anthony Edwards is hard to root for or not. Like, you know, when you're a fan of the team, they're easy to root for. They're easy to root for. Like, is LeBron hard to root for? To some, yes, yeah, I'm sure he is.
To some.
But how much of that is his fame, his success? Is it jealousy?
Right.
As opposed to, you know, what he does, how he plays, how he acts. You know, I honestly don't care why anyone, or why, you know, I don't care if anyone thinks that they're hard to root for if they're on your team. What's it matter?
Yeah, now glow, like,
there are some people who only want to root for good people.
I don't think Luka's a bad person, though.
No, I don't think so either.
And so, I mean, to me, I think Luka nationally, on a national scale, if he's not against you or he's not your team, you're just a neutral observer, I think Luka's really easy to root for. I want to get ESPN has new MLB power rankings out. I'm going to hit you with them real quick before we let you.
Let me do this real quick. Did you see the LeBron Barbie doll?
No.
Because we just talked about LeBron. It's a new Ken doll. It's called the Barbie. This is, I mean, you cannot set yourself up for ridicule more.
LeBarbie. That's good. I wish this would have happened earlier in his career.
Like, everyone's going to chant LeBarbie. That's what they're going to chant now.
LeBarbie.
LaBarbie.
Yeah.
LaBarbie. Like, you did this to yourself here. Like, he can't do anything, but he did it to himself. This is brutal. You are setting yourself up for mockery.
How does it look? Does it look like a good... It's a Ken doll with LeBron?
Yeah.
LeBron Ken doll. I want to see how this thing looks.
Here.
That looks just like him, actually. Oh, see.
Stylish pants.
Yeah, they got a... The worst part about this isn't the doll necessarily. It's the pictures of him playing with it. Yeah. Like, do you see these pictures of him playing with the doll?
It's pretty good.
He's like laughing and holding it and like moving its arms.
I like it.
That's great. I would
I like it.
I would make that my profile picture from LeBron. ESPN has new MLB power rankings out. Before we let RJ Choppy empty his drawer of urine stories that he still has left over.
Well, I have one, I think.
You got your urine bucket and you've got your baseball urine. All right. Number one team in baseball is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Two is the Phillies. This is from ESPN. Three is the Padres. Four is the Mets. So you get the top four are still in the NL. No surprises there for you at this point. You still think that that's pretty clear the NL's the better league right now?
I don't think it's a matter of opinion. I think the NL is clearly better.
Are there Vegas odds on the league that will win the World Series?
I'm sure you could find it.
Would you get if you were to guess what that would be? What do you think the NL would be?
They'd probably be implied odds of, I would say it's minus 200 that the NL wins. 66%.
The New York Yankees are fifth, the Chicago Cubs sixth, and then we get the Texas Rangers who come in at seventh. Man, they actually drop. Being 9-4 when these rankings count, they actually dropped a little bit. It says the Rangers started 8-4 despite being outscored by 12 runs in those games. Texas won its first 5 one-run games, plus its only 2-run game to create that early disparity. Of course, there are two ways to view the disconnect. The Rangers are sitting pretty in the standings despite a slumping offense that has hit under 200 as a group. Thus, the close wins are buying the Rangers some time until the batsmen get going. The cynical way to look at it is that the differential is a harbinger of impending doom. The real answer, as ever, is probably somewhere in the middle, but one way or another, the Rangers are going to need to score more runs.
I mean, look, I know the Yankees offense has been playing much better than the Rangers, and that's probably why they're ahead of them. But the Yankees pitching stinks. And in a 5-game series or a 7-game series right now, the Rangers wipe the floor with them from a pitching perspective. It's not even close. The Yankees can't pitch.
Yeah, the Yankees can't pitch, but they have the torpedo bats.
So. They do have the torpedo bats.
Tell us about urine.
All right, so you want the baseball or do you want the Oregon?
Give me the baseball first because we just talked baseball, and then you can give me the bucket.
A New Mexico high school baseball player has been hit with criminal charges. And I had to send my kids this story. I said, guys, look, I know you're kids and you think this is all funny. Please don't do this. Now you know it's going to happen. They're going to do this because I sent them the story. But this guy, this baseball player... in New Mexico, high school player, according to the Rio Ranch Observer, he's on the JV team. He faces 15 counts of battery. He was charged with a vile violation that he micturated.
He what?
Micturated.
What is that?
I learned that in the Big Lebowski. That's what happens.
I've seen the Big Lebowski. Micturate. I don't remember that term being in
You're
there.
You're saying he micturated on the rug. That's urine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's a 16-year-old. He peed in the water cooler. That's disgusting. That's put him in jail.
Yeah, honestly.
Like that's jail.
That is worthy of it. Now, the only thing, you said he was in Oregon?
No, this is in New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico, I thought it was in Oregon. Okay, I was going to say, in New Mexico, if that was in Oregon, I could see, like, up there, them being, they're a little earthy, they're a little hippie. I could see them being like, it's actually pretty good for you to drink your own urine, and then I could see them being into it, so I was surprised it was battery. But New Mexico, that makes more sense. That's disgusting, and that is
salt.
That's somebody who has to go to jail.
Battery, yeah. I mean, look.
If that would have happened to me, if I would have consumed any of that, I am attacking.
Yeah, like... He's like, my 15-year-old, like he would do, like, or my 12-year-old would probably do that. I would hope that they would know better. I would hope they would know better. I don't have the faith in any 15-year-old to actually know better.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. Let's go on to Oregon. This Portland neighborhood, this man is struggling to figure out why someone and people keep dropping bottles of urine in his recycling bin.
Okay, that's weird. Now, Oregon does, don't they? Aren't they one of these safe harbor areas for like we have little like homeless zones or whatever? That I mean, I don't know. Is that what that could be?
It's probably exactly what that is. And this guy is complaining that people keep dropping these bottles of urine in his recycling bin. Like, dude, they probably don't have a place to go. Would you rather them just leave it all over the place? No, they're actually trying to put it into the trash.
So we were.
You would think this is the preferred thing. Like, they're trying to do something nice.
Yeah, but it's in his. I get that if it's always in his, kind of gross.
You trash Karens. If your trash is out on the side, all right, and I put dog poop in there and it's in a bag,
It's in the trash. What do you care what goes in your trash?
Every day?
I don't care. Throw everything. If you want to come out in my if your trash is full and my neighbor comes walking down and throws his trash in mine because my trash is not as full as his, but his is full, like, go ahead. I don't care. Why do you care?
But every day somebody's dropping urine in there, that would get old.
If they were pouring the urine in, that's one thing. It's in the bottle.
Did you see
it's closed.
You remember we talked about that story in Baltimore a couple months ago where so many homeless people have been like urinating on the buildings on the side.
Would you rather that
it's eroding, like the urine over time is just eroding the building.
Would you rather these people just go on the sidewalk? I mean, they're trying to do something nicer. They're going into what they have.
They're trying to pee in your recycling. That's so nice
of
them.
Not in their recycling. You know, it's close. The bottle, the cap is on. I don't care what you do with my trash can. You can do whatever you want. You throw up in it. I don't care.
Okay,
vomit in my trash can.
If you know where Choppy lives, Choppy is invited. You can do anything to his trash can now.
Trash cans are disgusting.
Yeah, especially when they have bottles of urine dropped in them, Chop.
What's in the bottle doesn't matter. As long as the bottle doesn't explode.
214, the problem is the trash company refuses to pick it up, so that guy has to dispose of it himself. That's what they say anyway.
Listen, I'll tell you this. I have never...
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Seeing them look at what's in the recycling, because 90% of the time it's probably not recyclable.
That makes sense,
right? Like, how many people just throw trash?
Been stopped beforehand.
Yeah, I would have been stopped beforehand. So I'm calling BS on this one. At least in Fort Worth, they pick it up with the trucks. They don't even look. They're not even looking.
Oh gosh, could you imagine that when they drop it? If it's like the first drop of the day and it hits that bottom and just shatters
the urine. Gross. Ugh, gross. Brent Severin, Stars analyst. Victory Plus joins the show next on 105 Through the Fan.
Carried into the zone by Josh Morrissey. Morrissey, Anderson going, Connor shoots and scores, and he's got 40, and it's 4-0 Winnipeg.
Oh, there's Jets TV with the call. Stars lose 4-0 to Winnipeg, and with that loss, I mean, it's look. Let's face it. Now they know who they're going to play. They knew who they were going to play anyway for the most part. After they lost to Vancouver the other night, it was like kind of the writing was on the wall there. But they had to have last night's game. They are now losers of four straight. Other teams are on an 8-0 run against them. Brent Severin now joining us from Victory Plus, pride of Alberta, Canada, our good friend. And we got you two times now before the playoffs, so that should be good, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys are doing great. Very proud of you guys. Thank you very much for having me again.
Yeah.
Nice. Sevy, we're listening to the feedback. We did a we did a show survey the other week, and there is, at least in our audience, there is a stronger desire right now for Stars talk over Mavs talk. The Mavs have put themselves down. There's a lot of excitement about this team, just not over the last couple games. The last couple games have been a little disappointing. Is the only thing.
Well, yeah, and also with Maverickland, it's a little different, right? There's a lot going on there that maybe has a little something to do with that. Judging by the game the other night against the Lakers, I think there are a few disappointed fans. But we as Stars fans, we will bring you over to the dark side if you want a little
there
bit
we go.
No, come on down.
It's the green side. It's that side. Victory green.
Nice.
While we make that tie, I'm curious really quickly. That was obviously a big trade that shook up the Metroplex. If you were to think about that in hockey terms, the closest analogy we've been able to come up with what happened with Luka was almost like the Gretzky trade to the Kings. That's the closest. Could you think of anything that would happen with the Stars that would be that monumental that would just have the fan base going, what in the world did you guys just do?
Not really. It would be Mike Modano at some point. Mike Modano went to Detroit. That was the same sort of deal, yep. Right? But yeah, that what happened with there. And I don't follow basketball a lot, but obviously when you read the clippings and see what's going on, that was quite the movement to move a guy like that at that time in his career. And even a guy like Mikko Rantanen, who we got from the Hurricanes that moved from the Colorado team, it was kind of the same deal. It was a shock to the city. It was a shock to the team. But Lucas Thing is a much different animal, a much bigger name, a much better player in all regards, and pretty unique what's happened there. So, yeah, but the Gretzky trade, because, again, I'm from Edmonton, so I was there in the city when it went down, and we were all shocked. It's the same sort of deal, and the Oilers took a long time to recover from that one, that's for sure.
Sevi, what's gone wrong? Four in a row, and that's just off of a seven-game win streak. They swept their Western trip. What's gone wrong in these last four games?
Yeah, I was just looking through the notes of last, when I was with the Stars in 98-99, I wanted to see what our record was when we went into the playoffs. And when what was happening is in the last 10 games, we were 6-2-1, I believe. It's kind of where the Stars are. We had lost the last two games going into the playoffs. We lost to Colorado and Anaheim, I believe it was. So we were kind of not hobbling in, but waiting for playoffs. And then once the playoffs starts, you turn it around. For the Stars, it's all about the puck possession and defensive coverage. You know, when you're giving up 3+ goals in each of those last four, like in hockey, the magic number is 3. Usually the team that can get to 3 the most is going to win a lot of hockey games. And the Stars are just coughing it up right now, giving a lot of goals, melting down in third periods. And that to me is probably the most problematic thing. And I said this on air the other night, composure is one of the biggest things. I was with the Colorado Avalanche the year after they won the Stanley Cup, and I was with the Stars the year that they won the Stanley Cup. And the biggest thing with those teams that kind of separated themselves from all the other teams that I had played with is composure. Composure in very important times in a game when things are going awry, things are getting messed up, the bench is going crazy, fans are going nuts, the other team is pushing. You have to have this innate, and it has to come from the guys. The coaches are doing their things, but this has to come from the guys on the bench. From my experience, someone calming it down, relaxing, taking control of the situation, getting the puck out near the end of the game, making a good solid play, but the Stars are scrambling. And that has a lot to do now as we're moving further to the end of the season to do with confidence. And I think the confidence has maybe waned a little bit, especially defensively in that regard. So that's a long-winded answer to say, yeah, they're just not keeping the puck out of the net in real tough times of these games.
Sevi, Pete DeBoer said yesterday, essentially, look, I'll take a couple losses if what I get in return is long periods of good playoff-type hockey, which I think we've had the last few games. Like if I can get that and I can prep us a little bit, that's the silver lining I'm looking for. Is that... Are comments like that, you think, a way to keep them encouraged and keep them from getting too down? Or do you think that's a legitimate thought with him of like, hey, there's some silver lining here. We're getting ourselves prepared, and ultimately it's not costing us because we're not going home yet. This is just a preparation for being a battle-tested team.
Yeah, because ultimately that's it. This is just the precursor to what we're really talking about. At the same time, the coaching staff, like as a coach, you know, and anybody who's a parent out there, you got to judge, like, do you hammer on your kid? Do you back off? Do you hug them? What are you doing? And that's what, and coaches, coaching at the NHL level and professional level is babysitting at the highest level. That's what it is. You have multi-million dollar corporations that you're dealing with. Every player is that. And now you have to find a way to get to them to do what you want to do. So he's going to say, yeah, the positive says, well, that's the right, because you can't yell at him. You're not going to go out and bang him and skate him hard and work him to the bone. You got to say, okay, over two periods, half the game, we did some good things. At the end, we melted down. The problem is I've seen four games of meltdowns. That's the thing to me that's the most problematic for this team and the most concerning is what's happening at the end of the games. And that, because once you get into the playoffs, it gets hectic. It gets crazy. How do they react to it? Who's going to take control? Who's going to make that good, safe play? Are you going to work as five guys out there, not just run around? And that's the problem. They're chasing pucks, moving around, getting excited. They call it cheating, too, when you're trying to score more goals. So at the time when the Stars have been up 3 goals, they're cheating to maybe get that extra goal instead of making sure to get the puck. They call it off the glass and out. Just a little cheesy play to move it out to alleviate some of that pressure. And that's the thing winning teams do, and hopefully the Stars, who, by the way, if they play the way they can beat the Winnipeg Jets or anybody else in the league. That's the good news for Dallas Stars fans. We believe that a team that they have with the coaching staff, the players, and hopefully we can get Sagan back, maybe Miro Heiskanen can get back at some point. Now you got your full complement. Nobody in the league can match them when they're playing the best.
Brent Severin joining us here, 105 through the Fan. So last night, it was, you know, Winnipeg was just so much more aggressive. They were, you know, was there a hangover from that loss the previous night then, do you think?
Winnipeg is good. Like, Winnipeg, when you watch them, and I've been watching them all year, they are so strong defensively. Like, it's playground rules, right? You got to get to the middle of the sandbox, and you got six kids that want that toy, and that's the way it is for them. You got to fight to get to the middle. You got to fight along the boards. They have layers of help, whether it's the forward or the defense. And then when you get through all that, you got this guy named Connor Hellebuck, who is an unbelievable goaltender, if not the best goaltender in the league. And that's, they do this to every team. They did it to the St. Louis Blues, who are a team that are just flying right now. They had 12 wins in a row. Winnipeg went in there and absolutely just did what they did to the Stars and just shut them down. So, yeah, when you look at a team that maybe you want to bet for as a Stanley Cup champion, you look at the way they're playing right now. So I really did like the way the Jets were playing. Yeah, the Stars maybe didn't bring their game, everything they needed, but that's a lot of the reason is because of a big, strong Jets team that just dominated the game.
Do you trust Hellebuck in a big spot? Isn't that the knock on him is the big game? Do you trust him?
You don't know, right? Yes. When I watch what he did all year, yes. And I know last year they bailed out in the first round, but it's a much different team right now, the Jets. There was a couple of years ago, Rick Bowness, who coached the Stars, he started to cut some players out of there, some fat, some cancer that they had within the dressing room. So they removed these guys. All of a sudden, that team became stronger. That team became tighter. It's like my team in 98-99. That team was a tight team. And when you have that, they're hard to beat. Hellebuck didn't have that support. So along the ways, and he's very dialed in. They say he's much more focused. He's ready to go. He's been through that. You got to have some scars as well, right? You got to get beat up a little bit in playoffs to understand what to do. And he's learning. Can he melt down and do? Yeah. Could he come and steal the show and be the MVP of the playoffs? Yes. That's the great thing. We all restart at the end of this. We restart in playoffs. Every team is at zero. We start to bring it in. We're going to play the Colorado Avalanche. So let's go. Let's put the foil on and get fighting, because this is going to be fun.
Stars analyst Brent Severin joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Seve, before the game against Winnipeg, Wyatt Johnston had said, hey, this will be as close to playoff hockey and a playoff test as we're going to be able to get. After the game, a lot of guys seemed dejected. I know Roope Henson talked about, like, we got to find a way to score against these guys and score against this style of hockey. Is that a concern, you think, that is as good as Dallas has been throughout the regular season? Is there a concern about the projectability of that style against, you know, playoff-style hockey?
Yeah, that's where you got to dig in, right? That's what you got to find, because it's no longer going to be, you know, Jason Robertson is not going to have the opportunity just to float around the top of the circles, hang out, get these fluffy little passes and send it to the net. First thing they're going to do is, if I'm playing against Robertson, I'm going to chop his arms as hard as I can and say, you touch the puck and I'm going to break your wrists off. And then you're going to set that in. Wyatt Johnston, they're going to circle him. There's going to be a big fat red circle around him. And because he's not a big guy, he's very strong on the ice. He's got this great skill, but you've got to make it tough on him. You've got to make it mean. And that's why I got like Rantanen, Duchesne, Granlund, Marchment. These are the kinds of guys that are going to step up and battle and fight, because that's the way they play. You know, Duchesne, you can see, our most consistent forward. All year, he's been just battling and fighting and working because he understands what's about to transpire. And because of that, he's been one of our best offensive guys. And for playoffs, he's built for it because he's always taking on contact. So, yeah, I'm excited for what they can do. There's so much talent within this team, so much depth. And you never know. If the Stars could get on a roll and keep going, and when they play, if they play the Jets in the second round, be a beauty series, though.
Can they advance far if Jamie Benn doesn't get going?
Everybody has to be going, man. You need everybody. And Jamie Benn, like, there's a lot of things that he does well. Do you know what I mean? He growls that team. He's a big body. He creates space. So he doesn't necessarily have to be scoring a goal. We would love for him to get points and stuff. Wyatt's got to be going. Roepe, that you look at all the top players that always in every playoff, it's that second and third tier player that has to chip in at an opportune times to help out. It's crazy how it's such a game, such a team game in the playoffs. Everybody has to be there from the goaltender back. If there's one or two pieces that aren't missing or they're not contributing, whether it's physically, whether it's not taking penalties, whether it's making a big stop, making a block shot, everybody has to be on board. That's why this, I believe, and you guys cover more sports than I do, this is why I think hockey playoffs are the best, because everybody has to be on board, and the intensity is all the way from the money bags all the way down to the fourth liners. Everybody has to be going.
Seve, appreciate it. We will talk to you as the playoffs get rolling.
Oh, man, I cannot wait. I just sat here since 6 o'clock this morning waiting for this call.
I know you did.
So excited.
I bet you did, man.
Hey, we got to say something. Like, I mean, specifically on the YouTube, I'm looking at it right now. Kid Cowboy, Cam, they're all on there. They were writing Seve with a bunch of exclamation points when you came on. So they've been waiting for it, too.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. Appreciate having me.
All right. Have a good
day,
one.
Gents. See you guys.
Have a good one. Brent Severin, Victory Plus, joining us here, 105 through the Fan. It's Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece next.
It is Crosstalk.
Drop it like it's hot.
The KNC Masterpiece on 105 through the Fan. Kevin and Corey have joined the program.
See, we didn't give out any information about your wedding yesterday. Like, you were concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, Corey.
It's a city, Kevin. It's big. It's a big city.
It's probably a lot of parks.
It was mentioned on the Righteous Gemstones this week.
It was.
Was it really?
I had to rewind to make sure they did say Fort Worth. They did.
You know, I did reference a park at 6:40, where I was just throwing out a random one that I knew was somewhere in Fort Worth. And then after I said it, I was like, it could actually be there, and I don't know, so I may have just dropped it. I was just saying a park, because I don't know where he's getting married.
No, the park you mentioned is right here, down the street.
Is it?
The one off
Cole? I don't go to parks. I just know that's where Ty Herndon got busted one time.
Herndon, the country star?
Ty Herndon got busted for soliciting over there.
Oh, in a really? Bush. Yeah, he was in a bush.
Yeah, he was. Who was Ty soliciting?
He said he was just going to the restroom.
Huh?
Oh, like at the Masters.
Yep.
Yeah, that now look, that's a creek.
Two different things.
What's the difference between a creek and a crick?
I think where you're from.
Yeah.
Okay. Crick. Yeah, that's in your neck. That's one of them.
You got a crick in your neck. No, like, yeah, my grandpa.
But people call creeks cricks.
Grandpa called it a crick.
Do you think that hopefully your marriage will not overstay its welcome like season 4 of Righteous Gemstones?
Oh, is it no good?
The season sucks.
So
the first episode was really good, and then the rest of it's the worst. What they're doing with
the last one was really funny.
What they're doing with John Goodman, I hate it so much.
Yeah, but
and Megan Mullally,
did they kill him off? Did they kill him off?
If your kids walk in on you doing that, it's going to scar them for life, no matter what age
they are. Should.
Did you guys ever walk in on your parents?
No,
I did.
They had a lock on.
My dad wasn't
around. Smartly.
Well, I can tell you the exact day I did. It was Super Bowl Sunday of Super Bowl 32, Broncos and Packers.
Wow, big Packer fan, huh?
He clearly was.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I never did that. I don't think my parents ever did that. I think they did it twice, and that was
strictly
it.
For procreation.
My mom is like that.
That's the way I like to think about it.
That's the way I like to think about it. As well. But you know, it'd be interesting to see. Not that, but
that was weird. Yeah,
what you were talking. Never mind. Going back to what you were talking about, I was thinking of something with Bobby, but no. The Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
So, I feel the same way about White Lotus this year.
Oh my God! All right,
I've chosen not to ever watch White
here
Lotus.
Here we go. I'm gonna redo the entire season of White Lotus.
Adrian wants
three,
to watch
three.
It, and I'm like, nope.
You ready?
Look, they could have did it in a 2-hour movie.
No, you could have done it in half an hour. All right, first 5 minutes. Hey, something interesting might happen. Neat. What do you want to do for the next 7 episodes?
Nothing.
Man.
Yeah.
We're in Thailand. That's crazy. Man, it's crazy.
It's just a bad show.
Sometimes women don't get along. And then in the last 30 minutes, they're like, let's do that one interesting thing that you stayed around the whole season. This season sucked.
Yeah, I was not a fan. Now, there are some people who are like, it's just so good. You're just not on the level of artistic. No, I'm not.
It's not. It's not so good. It's the same thing that happened with 30 Rock before the last couple of seasons. People were too afraid to speak out against it because it had gotten a reputation. I like the first 2 seasons of White Lotus very much. I still think season 1's fantastic, and that manager should be brought back for every single thing ever.
Oh, my God, for every season.
But
he's like Caligula.
The first 2 seasons were so good. Now people, you don't want to be like, hey, the White Lotus this year was just okay. You shut your mouth. It's the same thing with the last couple years of 30 Rock. Just awful. But people were like, "That's so good for so long. I have to pretend that it's still good."
Since you're into just destroying current seasons of shows right now, did you watch The Bear?
I did.
Was season 3 bad?
I didn't think it was bad at all.
Okay, so I watched the first two episodes, and like the first episode of the season, nobody talked. It was like four words, and he cut food for 40 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, this is boring.
I loved it.
And the next episode was really slow, and I talked to a friend who had binged all of it or watched through it, and they're like, it's not good. Like every episode focuses basically on one person and these long, drawn-out stories that are like, oh my God.
Man, there's a couple of subplots in season 3 that I really liked a lot. I might not have liked it as much as season 1 or 2, but I thought it was good.
I think I saw the best acting from Joe McHale, which isn't really that much like a broad spectrum for him, but
his version of him.
Yeah.
In no range.
Yeah.
I
think he's funny on the coffee or whatever, and then what was it that he did?
Community.
Soup? Yeah, soup. Yeah.
Soup.
You can drink soup out of a coffee cup.
It's like Jesse Eisenberg. I think he's great, but have you seen that one thing where he's kind of nervous and shy and neurotic? Yeah, it's everything that he's in.
Yeah, the Michael Cera film.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I understand those comparisons for sure.
Same person.
No, but yeah, White Lotus, like, it was like, it didn't do it for me this year. Usually the first two seasons were great. This one, they just dragged it on. I have a lot of questions.
I thought the same thing about the first few seasons of Better Call Saul. People had to pretend that was amazing.
They still pretend it was a good show.
When it was really boring as hell and they had to bring back all the characters that people really gave a crap about, not this nonsense about your brother. Oh, turn off the metal. I got to get my sheet. And like, okay, that's great. I get it. But you don't need a 75-minute episode about that.
No.
And so, but people are afraid to speak out because they think if it's long and it's by somebody you've heard of that's done other good stuff, it must be good.
Must be good. And the director, the producer, creator, Mike White, I mean, he's just like, hey, guys, don't complain. I'm world building here, okay? Get on my level.
I was against you on this. I didn't see the episode. Wrong. No, I just said if he's building, like for instance, I was talking about this with Pastry Chef Eric yesterday. We were talking about, because he called me. He was like, how much did you like Zach and Eric's song? He just called to rub that in my face. But we were talking about The Wire. And we were talking about how the second season of The Wire is boring when they're dealing with the white boys down at the dock.
Reggie will push back against that.
So that's what Eric pushed back at. Eric had said, you need it for the entire world so that they built towards the end. It's part of the story they're building.
All right, I get that. But you're not that cool, dude. Like, don't talk down to your viewers like that. You don't want to be in my world, then get out of my bed. You don't want to be naked in my bed, get out of my bed. That's what he said. That's what he said to Variety or Vanity Fair, whatever it is. Variety or Vanity Fair, one of the two.
Have you ever seen this movie he made called Chuck and Buck?
No.
That's like one of the first things he did. You should go check it out.
It sounds like I did. I think I do remember something.
Didn't he do School of Rock?
He did School of Rock. He wrote School of Rock. He was also the director of, was he the director
Orange
of Nacho
County.
Libre?
Yeah, that's
he was
right.
either the director or the writer of Nacho Libre.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then he made White Lotus for
them. I like Mike White.
I think he's got
a lot of great stuff. I just thought this season 3 was boring
just
as hell.
It's okay if season 3 sucked.
And it's okay if you still liked it. We can have different opinions.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, we can't.
What do we have coming up in the show? Bruce Bochy again?
We don't have Bruce Bochy this time.
Yeah, just like the Matt Damon.
Hey.
Sorry to Matt Damon. You guys should tease Bruce Bochy
every day.
I do love that bit. I think it's hilarious. It's one of my favorite bits. We do, right out of the gate, we'll quick hit the stars and...
Tough one.
Why they stink right now.
Did you know the Jets had 44 hits?
Why didn't you
want
to read what I wrote? The Stars' quick hit of suctitude?
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Is that too hard?
At 10:20, we'll get into aiming. We'll do all the golf. Every golf thing that you could possibly imagine.
I kind of want to get a Masters gnome now that I know about that.
But the combo platter today, get over it, as Jason Kidd basically told us. A sports opinion, and then what sports or pop culture happening will you never get over?
So yesterday,
interesting.
Somebody sent in a great text. They're like, hey, get over this Luka thing. That being said, I'm still not over the fact that they canceled Firefly. That was from like 15 years ago. So I want to know if there's like a sports or pop culture thing. You're like, no,
it probably doesn't make a difference. He started to climb pretty quick after that. He came back a couple years later. I have never forgiven the Rangers for trading Juan Gonzalez.
See, that's a perfect example. I like it.
For Justin Thompson.
That's a good one.
What are we even doing?
No,
that's
nothing.
A good one.
Other than just languishing down in...
I don't think he ever pitched for
with
us.
The Tulsa Drillers or whoever.
I still never forgive Tennessee for firing Bruce Pearl.
Okay, see, that's a great example.
They felt like they had to because he was going to get a show cause penalty and they were going to be on probation. But take your lumps. Take your lumps.
Did you guys hear us at 6:40 this morning read our speeches to RJ Choppy?
I'm sorry I missed it.
I was doing yoga at that point.
That makes sense.
Today's rest day, so I just kind of get the blood flowing.
Downward dog. Yeah. So you do the warrior one or two.
Choppy is not having a trad wedding.
What wedding?
A trad wedding. Traditional wedding.
Traditional. Oh. That's what they call trad wife.
Nobody
trad
calls
wife.
It that.
I have never heard that in my life.
So because of that, Peyton and I don't get to deliver the speeches that we had written to deliver at the like classical reception.
They think they'd be like this. Yeah, Choppy, would they have merited such a role in a trad wedding?
You know, I think that because of the dynamics of like, you know, them being my second family, maybe all three of them could have said something.
I honestly think we would have pitched to Choppy like, as part of, I mean, this has got to kind of be show content. You should let each of us give a speech. Yeah. I think he would have been okay with
that. I would have had a best man speech.
Okay. Are you guys going away from this because neither one of you want a wedding or this is just like not for you guys or is it?
Had the wedding.
Yeah, I was curious about
so
that.
I didn't care to have another one. She hates weddings. So.
Oh, okay. Great.
So here is the speech that one Peyton Russell would have delivered at RJ Choppy's wedding.
Do you want me to say the actual speech, or do you want
me to? Yeah, do the speech. Okay. Do the speech.
Gotcha. Do like a rap.
I'll do it in sign language.
And do that same Vanessa Carlton song or whatever it is you had earlier.
All right, here it is. RJ Choppy. It's after 6:40 on a Thursday, so please don't expect much thought put into this. I've known you for 3 years, and you're like a father to me. No, seriously, RJ, you're so damn old. You could be my father. I knew I liked you from the beginning with how much of a degenerate you are. I'm definitely hammering the under in divorces this time.
That's right, baby.
RJ, you and Sarah are so perfect for each other. Without her, you'd be a virgin like Patrick Dumont.
Oh, no.
I could say a lot more, but you'd probably forget it all.
Oh my gosh, I missed that on the first pass.
You didn't get the dementia joke? You didn't get the dementia joke? Listen, it's because of my medication, okay?
All jokes aside, I'm happy for you, RJ. Enjoy this happy life with your second wife.
I really like the song in the background, too.
That was good, man.
It's good. 1,000 Years by Christina Perry.
I love Christina Perry. I thought Vanessa Carlton. I was gorgeous. Like, it's some 90s, 2000s.
Jar of Hearts.
This is mine. This is like a clang in the glass. Can I get everybody's attention, please? Thank you. It's great to be here at the Choppyman wedding. So many familiar faces. Never thought I'd see Sean and Kavanaugh breaking bread again, but here we are. That's nice. I'm sorry you weren't able to go on your honeymoon right away, Chop, because it unfortunately synced up with Sean's 15th week of paternity leave, and you can't both be gone. Chop, you look absolutely glowing. Haven't seen this happy since the George Foreman news. What a beautiful ceremony, though, guys, right? I shed a tear after you finished and walked out to Slut Me Out by NLE Choppa. That was classic.
Good song, yeah.
I wanted you guys to know how great a guy Chop is, so I figured I'd paint a picture of him by reading some messages from our group text last weekend that he never likes to drink. He's someone who pours into the community. That was clearly on display when he texted us, "Guys, come over. Just bought an 8-ball, and I got a girl from Harry Hines." Someone who looks out for others. That was clear when he said, "Guys, I think she stopped breathing." He's a great father. You can see that when he texted, "How do I move a body?" I just assumed that was because he was trying to move his sleeping son, Julie, without disturbing him and waking him up. Devout Catholic. Good Catholic boy.
Very devout.
You can see that because he kept saying God and Jesus in those texts that night. So raise a glass to the Choppymans and the memory of George Foreman and Abella off of Harry Hines.
Wow. Well done, Bobby. Well done.
Man.
That's impressive.
Bobby's going to get a talking to, I think.
Yeah. Holy
moly. I did just see the boss walk in.
I know. I think he came in here at the right time for that one.
There was nothing bad in there.
No, there was nothing necessary.
And I was literally reading what you said.
Yeah, but he was shaking his head as he was walking by.
I literally read what you wrote.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh, man.
Holy moly, some stiff shots there.
Some stiff shots. Yes, it's like a diss track at the nosebleeds almost, only at me this time, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the good roast.
You seem like the least bothered by a diss track.
If anybody at this station was going to sit up at the stage and take a roast, I think it would be you.
I agree.
And you would enjoy the ability to roast everybody back at the end most.
That is the best of me.
I would love that. That's what I did to my dad. That's what I did to my dad at the funeral. I roasted him.
I like that you had cuts in that eulogy.
You're like,
no, we got to cut that.
I had to cut a few things out. I wrote like seven of them.
I know.
Like seven of them. I've saved them. I had to come up. I had to do like a playlist or something like that at some point.
Yeah, you should.
All right, Casey Masterpiece is next.